Open up to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm not going to do the whole service about Tuesday being election day, but it's really important. And Paul thought it was important, especially that the church pray. The title of today's message is Co-labor with the Holy Spirit through prayer. See, that we tend to forget that we're called to not only be saved and love the Lord and be sanctified from the world. We are the agents of authority on earth in His name. And if we don't pray, stuff doesn't happen. Okay, it's important. And you'll see that even more so as we go through this. So this is a very familiar passage. It's read at almost every election time, every year. But this morning the Lord brought something to my attention that really illustrates what happens if the church doesn't pray. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore, that about fifth on your list of things to do today. No. First of all, boy, first of all, now you're going to see why. I see it better today than I've ever seen it before. After I'm going to read you a story. It's a news article, but it's a true story. First of all, I mean, this is important. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, in America, would that include presidents? Would that include Congress? Would that include senators and so forth? Because it says, for all that are in authority. See? Well, why, Paul? Why should we pray that? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let me ask you a question. Can that happen without the preaching of the gospel? Okay. With that foundation, with that thinking in mind, this article appeared today on the Fox News channel. I don't have permission to reprint it or anything. If you want to look it up, the exact title is Two Secret Churches in North Korea Show How Powerful the Bible Really Is. Okay, now I'm going to say it again in case somebody wants to look it up. It's on Fox News today on their Two Secret Churches in North Korea Show How Powerful the Bible Really Is. The author is Rachel Godwin. G-O-D-W-I-N. Good name. God wins. I like that name. So let me just read you this story. It's not very long. It's not a story. This is a report. In the early morning light, a small group of North Korean believers meet on the riverbank, lugging their fishing gear with them. Quietly, they load into a small boat and push off from the land. It's not until they're far into the middle of the river that they dare to dig through their gear and pull out their Bibles. This is the only place where they feel safe enough to worship together and study God's Word. And even then, they are constantly on alert. If they get caught reading the Bible, they could immediately be sentenced to 15 years in a labor camp or worse. They've heard the stories of what happens to people who are heard speaking the name of Jesus. Many of them have family members and friends who are living in the camps now or have been buried there. That's why when another boat approaches, they panic and they scramble to hide their Bibles. It's the police, someone shouts. But only after the man in the boat greets them in the name of Jesus and tells them he has a gift for them, do they start to calm down. He asks to see their Bibles, and the believers who own one hand them to him. There are only a few Bibles among the church members, not nearly enough for everyone. And each copy is practically falling apart. After years of being carefully studied and then hidden over and over again. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with this. I feel so convicted when I read things like this. Little sissy boy living in a first world country with multiple translations of the Bible on my phone, on my iPad. Maybe I just don't feel like going to church today. God help us all. God have mercy on this nation. Try again. There are only a few Bibles among the church members, not nearly enough for everyone. And each copy is practically falling apart. After years of being carefully studied and then hidden over and over again, the bindings have come loose and the pages are beginning to slip out. Many of the Bibles have water damage from these early morning meetings on the boat. But they are still these Christians' most prized possessions. They risk their lives for these Bibles. So when the stranger pulls out a box of new Bibles, provided by generous, this is an organization called World Help, World Help Donors, there is an immediate celebration on the boat. The believers clutch God's word to their chests, and many of the people who had not had one previously, they break down into tears. To them, a new Bible is the greatest gift they could receive. There are still countless believers across this dark nation, talking about North Korea, who are desperate for Bibles. Some people have never even seen a copy of the scriptures in their life. But they know they would do anything to get their hands on one. After the man delivered the new Bibles to the secret church on the river, he took the damaged copies back to the hotel where he was staying and he hid them. But soon afterward, they disappeared. He later discovered that the janitor had found the Bibles, and instead of reporting them, he took them. It turns out that he was a Christian himself, and his tiny house church of four people had been praying for Bibles. He praised God for the Bibles, even as damaged and falling apart as they were, because he and his friends could finally study God's word for themselves. That's how desperate North Korean Christians are for copies of the scripture. Now Rachel speaks in the first person. I believe that's her name. Yeah, it's Rachel Godwin. She says, the story above is true. We heard it from our partners, defectors among them, who help us smuggle Bibles into North Korea. They also told us the number one request from the church in North Korea was getting more Bibles. So a year ago, we set the goal of sending 100,000 Bibles to North Korea. It was a daunting and ambitious goal, but we knew these Christians are longing for a chance to have a Bible, despite the risks. A year later, we are not far from reaching this goal. With the help of generous supporters, more Christians in North Korea now have access to a Bible of their own. Now, I didn't know this till I read this article, but today, November 4th, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Did you know that? I didn't know it either. Christians in America and across the world will dedicate time in their services and personally to pray for those who are suffering persecution because of their faith. I hope you will join us in praying for these brave men and women. God help us if through lack of prayer, the Christians in this nation let it become like North Korea. And don't think it can't. Don't think it can't. And also realize this. The government in North Korea does not allow the internet there. The people have no access. They can't listen online to messages. They can't read the Bible online. They have no other way. For now, you have to personally go in there and evangelize by mouth, or you have to smuggle the written word in there. God help us all. God help us if we don't pray for this nation. Now, with that thinking in mind, let me read those two or three verses again here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. See, how important is this? God help us if we don't pray. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, well, boy, I'm understanding better now. First of all, how important is it? Did you know that North Korea at one time had one of the greatest revivals ever on planet Earth? I've got a picture of a revival held in Pyongyang way back around early 1900s. And the place looks like one of those Oral Roberts tents filled with people in Pyongyang, North Korea. It wasn't always like this. But it became like it is today. God help us if we let the United States follow that same course. It will not happen in Jesus' name. First of all, boy, I see more important than ever, the importance of praying for our country. Supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, and I'm going to insert presidents and congressmen and senators and dog catchers and mayors and governors and for all that are in authority. Why? That we might lead a quiet and peaceable life, now notice, in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And I emphasize again, that can't happen without the free course of the gospel being preached, or Bibles being there where they can read it, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay, just go back a page or two to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. By the way, Carol is... Yes, she is. She's here. Stand up, Carol. Now, just so you know, we have in our fellowship an employee working at Voice of the Martyrs, which is an international organization who supports persecuted Christians all over the world. They're also involved in getting the Bible translated into languages. They're also involved in getting Bibles into countries. Not only that, they help with supplies and food. And I just want you to know, we have a member right here. And before she ever worked, for me, I have been a supporter of that ministry for years. And I will be till I leave the planet. I just recommend it to you, the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know whether it's okay to do that. If it's not, they can take it off of here, but I recommend the Voice of the Martyrs to you. They have a monthly magazine. I believe it's free. But if you want to, if you can read those stories and not help, I'm praying for you. Thank you, Carol. But you can see her afterwards, and or you can just look up Voice of the Martyrs.
It's persecution.com.
What is it?
Persecution.com.
Just persecution.com is their website. Persecution.com. Hallelujah. So, thank God we have one right here in our midst. Thank God for you. So when I was praying, when I read that article, I just wept. As you can tell, I'm not over it yet. You know, nobody in that revival. See, and it's not a coincidence that I've seen that picture of that revival in Pyongyang all those years ago. Because I'm going, God, how did it go from that? Such a revival, biggest revival, one of the biggest ones on earth. How did it go from that to the state it is now? And as he almost always says, it's the church's fault. We're the ones in authority here. We don't pray. We don't do what we've been told to do plainly in Scripture. And if we don't pray, we hinder the kingdom of God. So one of the early first ways, if you want to start co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, just pray what the Bible says to pray. It's easy. But you got to do it consistently. So when I was going through all this morning, this is the passage that came up to me that I felt like the Lord would have me exhort on about prayer making a difference. See, I can almost see Paul. Can't you almost see him being the guy in the boat that brought the Bibles? There's guys there on the front lines, to like Paul did in his day. People on the front lines bringing the gospel. Now, in his day, there wasn't any printed Bible to bring, so he had to bring it orally, verbally. But he risked his life again and again and again to do it, see? Well, in his letter to the Thessalonians, in chapter 3, he asked them to pray for him. So I've really broken this down. I'm going to read down through verse 4 and then come back. I want to dissect it. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may, and I'm going to say, and pray that we may. He still continues. See that and? So pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Can you imagine if that was the police coming up there and arrested them and put them in some kind of a gulag thing because they had a Bible? Talk about unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful. That's why you pray. He's faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And what he's saying, I want you to pray that he establishes us and keep us from evil. And he's talking about the evil men. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, I did a little dissection here this morning. That first phrase, finally, brethren, pray for us. You think Paul's playing around? Is his life on the line or not on the line? See, Paul believes prayer makes a difference. He believes your prayers matter. Prayer is one way you can co-labor with the Holy Spirit every single day. Now, at this church, and rightly so, we put great emphasis here on praying in tongues so the Holy Spirit can pray God's will for your life when you don't know what to pray as you ought. And we ought to emphasize that. But the Bible has many scriptures that tell us what to pray for in your known language. You know how to pray as you ought because the Bible tells you how to pray. Paul would not ask them to pray for him and his team if he did not believe it would make a difference. Prayer matters. Your prayers loose heaven on earth. Your prayers loose the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest the will of God in the earth. I didn't look it up, but you remember early in the book of Acts, James was killed right away. James was martyred. And the king saw that it pleased the Jews, so then he put Peter in prison. He was going to do the same thing to Peter that he did to James. The only difference we have in Scripture, we're not told about James, but we are told that the people made great prayer and intercession for Peter. And a lot of it was in unbelief. Now, how we know that is because they didn't even believe it when Peter knocked on the door later and said, "No, can't be him, must be his angel." But still, their prayer caused a difference. And God sent an angel to, had to nudge him, wake him up. He was asleep. Wake him up, said, "It's time to go." And took him out of the prison. The only difference that I can see, prayer was made for Peter. And prayer wasn't made, at least we don't have record of it, in James. I can only go by what's there. Prayer makes a difference. And Paul is going, listen, we're risking our lives out here on the front line. And the devil, have you ever read how Dave calls it the chapter 11 that the devil filed on Paul? You know, specific devil assigned to stop him. And I'm sure he had a host of devils with him. And they threw everything in the book at Paul trying to stop him. But he said, "My Lord is faithful." Now, there was lots of trouble. Paul got stoned to... Yeah. They said they left him for dead. But see, back then, they knew what they were doing when they were stoning. I'm thinking he was. I can't prove that. But he was either dead or real close to it. God just raised him up. Yeah. See, Jesus said, if they try and poison you when you're doing what I told you, if they try and poison you, this won't have any evil effect on you. I got bit by a spider while we were gone this week, and I believe the spider died. Glory to God. Amen. Either that or it got saved. I'm not sure which. It bit into some heavenly holy stuff right here. The glory of God's on the inside. Is Nathan here? I was going to see somebody say glory, but anyway. Hallelujah. All right. So finally, brethren, pray for us. Now look, the next phrase. One reason... that the word of the Lord may have free course. In the first century, the word of the Lord was not available in printed form as it is today. You couldn't take them a Bible. The word of the Lord was spread first by the apostles and then by the believers, person to person. Evangelism in person is important today, of course, but the word of the Lord is available in printed form. And can be distributed rapidly around the world. This very letter to the Thessalonians that I'm reading from was one of the very letters that Paul wrote that's part of our printed Bible today. And you know what he commanded? He says, "I command that this epistle be read in every church." Because he understood the value of reading the word of the Lord. He had the mind of Christ. He put it on paper. It became our Bible. Okay. Today we must pray for the fivefold in every nation. We must pray for the believers in every nation who are spreading the gospel by their word and their witness. But we must also pray that the printed word of the Lord be available to all people in their own language and that it have free course, not restricted like it is in North Korea, and not be hindered by wicked and unreasonable men. All right, the next phrase. And be glorified even as it is with you. Well, what that means is pray that the word of God be glorified. That means that the people will receive it for what it is, like the Thessalonians did. Pray for the people. One good way to do it, here's a prayer that you can know what to pray, and that's those two prayers in the book of Ephesians. Pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened and so forth and so forth. I'm not teaching on those passages, but you're very familiar with them. If you want to pray that the word of God have free course in North Korea and other, there's so many countries. Again, go to persecuted.com. There's a map there. They've got a map of all these persecuted. And I read an article, I don't have this one available at my fingertips, but in 2017, the most persecuted people on planet Earth were Christians. More Christians lost their lives for their faith than any other people group. We don't tend to realize that here because we don't suffer much of it here. And I pray we never do. But we better pray like Paul told us to pray. Don't forget that revival in Pyongyang and how it is today. The next verse says, "And that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." See, Paul encountered difficulty everywhere he preached the gospel. And as you know, from Dave teaching us so eloquently out of the bankruptcy chapter, as you know, a specific demon was assigned to stop Paul at all costs. All people do not have faith in Christ, as you well know. They could be atheists, they could be agnostic, they could be Muslim, Hindu, on and on and on. And they will vehemently do everything in their power to oppose the preaching of the truth. They'll do everything they can, for example, to stop the smuggling in of Bibles, because that is pure truth. We must pray for those who are risking their lives on the front lines to be delivered from such men and from all, does this sound familiar, plots, ploys, and schemes of Diablo. Thank you, Pastor Day. All right, verse 3. See, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. See, at this time in history, the Thessalonians themselves were being persecuted for their faith. Paul is telling them that you cannot always depend on men to be faithful, but you can always count on the Lord to be faithful. And I put here in bold letters, that is why prayer is so important. God is faithful to answer the prayers of His people. But He cannot answer prayers that are never prayed. Did you hear that sentence? Do you want to co-labor with the Holy Spirit? Pray. And we've got a major election coming up Tuesday. We've got a prayer that's available out in the lobby that I'm going to read. We're going to kind of pray it together. But before I do that, I'm going to pray for persecuted Christians. But do you want to co-labor with the Holy Spirit? Pray. And you can find it easily in your Bible. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and do this. There is a book that you can buy at Amazon. I don't remember the author's name. Somebody probably knows, but it's called Prayers That Avail Much. Now, that is a classic. I have worn out so many copies of that book, but it is one of the best resources available. And they've already got it categorized like prayer for your family, prayer for your husband, prayer for your marriage, prayer for your children, prayer for persecuted Christians, I'm sure, is in there. And it's called Prayers That Avail Much. I know it's still available. I can't even count how many of those we've given away over the years. I used to buy one at a time to replace mine. Now I buy them five at a time because I know they're going. It won't be very long. That way I have a copy longer. But anyway. Prayers That Avail Much. Highly recommend it to you. And you just pray what's there. It's all Scripture. There's no opinions in it. It's just Scripture sorted kind of by topic. Amen? All right. That would really help you pray. If you want to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, pray those prayers. They're all Scripture. All right, number four. Verse four, I'm sorry. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. Now get this. You don't hear this often in church today. That you both do and will do the things which we command you. In America, you ain't commanded me to do nothing, buddy. Who do you think you are, the pastor? You know what I'm saying is leadership. So, As I read that, I thought, Lord, that's not going to fly in today's church much. People don't do what they command them. In fact, if you command them to do something, they're going to buck right up and not do that. You know? I said, well, do what things? What's Paul really talking about here? And the Lord showed me, well, at the very beginning of this chapter, what did Paul say? Pray for us. He's believing that they'll do what he said. And that the people will literally pray for him. He expects them to do it. Then the Lord reminded me of some more commandments from the Apostle Paul to these same people in his first letter. So back up one more letter. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you want to see some commandments that would be good to be obeyed in the church today. And I didn't even put the one in here about don't have fellowship with those that won't work. But I should have. Anyway. I always say hunger is a great motivator. Don't enable people that are lazy and sponging off you. Come on. And for sure don't give them money for drugs and alcohol. Stop it. That's not co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Now, here's another one that's not popular. And are over you in the Lord. What? Pastor Dave was my pastor. And whenever he did give me correction or told me something to do, bless God, I did it. And if I'm not going to do that, I have no right to call him my pastor. And a couple of times he gave me instructions I didn't like, and I did them anyway. If I don't figure he's over me, he shouldn't be my pastor. But he is over me. Okay, so he says, know them which labor among you, which are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Thank God at this church we greatly esteem Pastor Dave. And be at peace among yourselves. Did you know that's a commandment? Be at peace among yourselves. The Corinthian church was the one that was all split, divided, and carnal, and I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Alan, I'm of Nathan. Nobody's of Gary. Got one over here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're supposed to be at peace among ourselves. You know? Now get this. Now, right after he says be at peace, notice he says, warn them that are unruly. That doesn't sound very peaceable. See, the leadership, one of the lessons he had me teach recently was repentance in the New Testament. And it was really the leadership at the Corinthian church that had to repent for not calling out that guy who was living in fornication, sleeping with his father's wife. It was the leadership that had to repent. Not only that guy, but the leadership had to repent for not doing what God called them to do. If you're unruly and causing division in this camp, my job as a speaker here, my job, warn you. Pastor Dave, one time we had a predator. It's quite a few years ago, so don't be trying to figure out who it was. But we had a sexual predator in the camp. And Dave found out about it. He says, this is my one and only warning to you. Stop it or I'm going to call you out. But that's what he's supposed to do. It's exactly what he's supposed to do. And the guy left. Took Dave at his word. Okay. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. I've always taken that to be me. Glory to God. Comfort me, Lord. Please, God, help me. Now, support the weak and be patient toward all men. How many are glad the Lord's patient with you? See, we're supposed to extend that to each other. Now, this is a good one here. They're all good ones, but see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Can't preach there, but that's a commandment. Notice how it's worded. See that none render evil for evil. That's to the leadership. My job is to see to it that you don't. Do everything I can. Be patient. Warn you. Comfort your feeble mind. All of that works into it. You know, I mean, do it in love, but bless God, around here, you're not going to render evil for evil and remain here. You see that? See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, now that means the brethren, the Christians, and to all men. Try and be good to all men. See. Rejoice evermore. I double dog dare you to take that as a commandment. The next time the Blue Mondays assault you, you have a commandment. Rejoice evermore. Yeah, but the battery went dead in my car. My cat scratched me. Kid on a bike stuck his tongue out at me. I mean, it's raining. It's on and on and on. Rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. And pray without ceasing. That means pray until you see the answer. It doesn't mean just pray all the time, although I think it means that too. You can develop the habit, and I know that because if I can do it, anybody can do it. You can develop the habit that if you're not sleeping, eating, or talking, you can pray all the time. I pray all the time. If you're with me in the car, Angie knows, I've just developed it over the years. I pray so soft, you'd have to be really close to hear it. And at age 71, I don't care what you think. I need that bumper sticker. I'm 71. Leave me alone. You know. Yeah. Walmart, I'm walking around looking at stuff. Praying really softly under my breath. Probably can't hear me unless you get really close. And if somebody sees me doing that, I just smile and continue. I don't care what they think. What do I care? I want to pray without ceasing. And I'll tell you what, that practice has done as much to keep my spirit in fellowship in that koinonia with the Holy Spirit, probably more than anything else. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then the very next statement is quench not the spirit. Well, what would be the opposite of in everything give thanks? Grumbling, complaining, and whining, and why me, God, oh God, why me? You quench the spirit that way. Now notice, I love how Paul wrote this. Despise not prophesying. Why write that unless it's possible? I am so tired of these prophecies. And I love how he did this. It's perfect. Prove all things. If their prophecy does not line up with the word of God, it's not a prophecy. But we're not to despise them. Hold fast that which is good. That which lines up with the word of God. That which lines up with his calling for your life. That which God has been already talking to you about. Hold fast to that. Okay? Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's so sad that they put, I probably won't say it right, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. We only have one in northeastern Oklahoma. And where did they put it? In the casino. Which means for Gary, I'll never get one. I'll never have a steak there. Because just being in there, somebody sees me and thinks, oh, Gary thinks it's okay to come here and drink and gamble. Listen to this ungodly music. If Gary thinks that's okay, must be okay. No, I wouldn't. All I would do would be go eat the steak and enjoy it and leave. But I would give the appearance of evil. And I'm not going there. You're not going to find me in the liquor store. You're not going to find me at those places. Because I have a commandment. Do you have a Bible? Abstain from all appearance of evil. If you shouldn't be at that rock concert, what in blue blazes are you doing there? Don't you know the devil will arrange for somebody to see you? And it will influence them on a course that may wreck them for 10 years. Okay. Teach and don't preach. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I love this. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul, now get this, and body. For years I didn't think that was possible. For your body to be preserved blameless. But I'm understanding that's exactly what the gospel is. And exactly why God had Pastor Dave rise up on planet Earth to teach us how you mortify the deeds of the body. God gave you that new nature for that express purpose. That your new man, that new man on the inside, takes authority and puts that flesh on the cross every day. Then you have the empowering of the Holy Spirit to help you do that. He doesn't do it for you, but he helps you do it. Your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you. Now get this. Who also will do it. Do what? He will sanctify you. Pray without ceasing. Spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Do what he's saying here. And even your body can be brought to a place of sanctification. You ought to read John G. Lake. He talks about the experiences he went through with that. He says, I'm here to testify. It was a war. It took some time. But I'm telling you, Jesus sanctifies even your body. Glory to God. That doesn't mean you're never tempted. He wasn't saying that. But you can bring that body to the place where it does not. You don't let it sin anymore. Somebody recently accused me of becoming a holiness preacher. Flattery will get you nowhere, I'm telling you right now. I'm going to keep doing it. If you're going to insult me, please use something besides that. It just makes me feel good. Now here, look at verse 25. Brethren, here's a command. Pray for us. When I read that, this is Paul who is risking his life out on the front lines. It reminds me of that guy who brought the Bibles up the river to the North Koreans. He's risking his life to do that. And when Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, pray for us. He's not just using words for no reason. He believes that if you pray, God will move. The Holy Spirit will have that prayer to cause angels to be in place and circumstances to change and all kinds of things to happen so that you can do your job and come back and then do it again. Continue to do the work that he called you to do. Now greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord. Now notice this. I charge you by the Lord. In other words, the Lord told me to tell you. That this epistle, this very letter of 1 Thessalonians, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. That's the beginning of the beginning of the written word. Don't you know copies were made, hand copies were made of that, and they distributed that letter to all the churches in their region, and everybody read it. That's the beginning of the written word. New Testament, I'm talking. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And if you listen to the first two lessons, that's not a little. When he says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, he's talking about the empowering that you received when you were born again to walk as a child of light. You always have that grace with you. Obey that grace. Nathan would say, listen to the voice of your conscience. You want to have a good Bible study? Study out every time Paul uses the word conscience. He strove to have a perfect, clear conscience before man and God. I want that, don't you? First off, let's pray for these people in North Korea and in every other. Father, we're specifically today lifting up North Korea to you. But Father, we want to expand that and not exclude all the other countries. Oh Lord, Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Lebanon and Libya and Egypt and on, Lord, so many countries around the world. Father, we do pray for those that are on the front lines, whatever it is you've called them to do, Father, whether it's to distribute Bibles and smuggle Bibles into these countries or to evangelize underground or whatever it is you've called them to do, Father, we pray, just like Paul said, that they be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Father, that angels be dispatched on their behalf, that circumstances be changed, Father, that you do supernatural things for them. Cause the eyes of the guards to be blinded, Lord. Cause it so that they just don't see them. And Father, cause your will to come to pass. Because you said, Lord, it's your will that all men come to the truth. And they have to have the gospel for that, Father. So we pray that the word has free course. Just exactly like you said, Lord. We pray that your word, the gospel, have free course in North Korea and Lebanon and Egypt and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and all of those Syria, Lord. Oh, God, help. We pray for all of your people, Lord, in all of these persecuted countries. And Lord, we pray for those like the Voice of the Martyrs that are and others, Lord, when all these organizations that you have called to send resources and help from the wealthy nations to help them, Lord. Father, we pray that your gospel, your word covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. Father, North Korea at one time was a great, mighty land of Christianity that had huge and wonderful revivals. Lord, we pray it become that way again. We pray that Russia becomes a Christian land. Free course, Lord. Father, we pray that Europe once again turn to God. We pray that America again turn to God. Father, give us revival. Give us revival. Oh, Father, Shandala Bakusendale. Just pray a moment. Just give a whole Shandala Brastole Kidiondore Mankatala Bratumindere Brestore Kalatoro Strindere Mukubatste. Frain karala barote de sharandra mukabatsto le mitada batuste le breto le quarori mandile la coche. Sonde la li karandro bre ma shuru ki biste la bratemela. Shundara bakabitste la mahatu shiki. Ola lo lo kindere brestore kariato lo breto me de kite la brashuru maka. Father, that we may lead a godly and a peaceable life. That those in North Korea can lead a godly and peaceable life. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Sharandoro breto mike. Hallelujah. See, to me, that's praying with the Spirit, praying with the understanding. A tongue given in church is not always to be interpreted. I know many people say that it is, but when you have it's all believers like we have here this morning, it's for intercession. It's for intercession. Thank God, I long for those days when we used to had those long prayer meetings. But anyway, that's another story. We have there's a printed document on the table as you go out in the foyer called Prayer for Our Nation. And if you don't mind, I want to lead you in this one by confession. And it's all very scriptural. It's not Democrat or Republican. That's not what we're after at all here. What we're after is a godly nation. Amen. So if you don't mind, and you can get a copy of it later, and if I get permission, we'll put this at our website also. Just say with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our country. its government, its leaders, and these upcoming elections to you. We set our faith to receive godly men and women in positions of authority who will do your will. Those who will protect and uphold our Constitution. Those who will protect the sanctity of life. Those who will protect our rights. And that includes our religious rights. We declare the upright shall dwell in our government. That godly men and women who hear and obey your voice shall remain in these positions of authority. But the wicked and the treacherous shall be rooted out and replaced with those who will do your will. We pray that you give your candidates favor. Favor with the American people. And that you put a shield of protection around them and their families. We also pray for your protection over the policemen, citizens, and people across our country. Father, we pray that you give the American people wisdom, understanding, and insight into which candidates to vote for. And Father, we receive your wisdom about whom to vote for. We say we are filled with the knowledge of your will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We declare the United States is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we declare that Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. Father, we thank you for a great spiritual awakening across this nation and across the world with mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. All to the glory of God. Amen.